Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM FM 95.9. A lot to get to here today. We'll be joined by John Folkey of the Timberwolves Radio Network. We'll recap how things have gone for the Wolves from the end of 2017 to now. The Wolves playing tonight, so we'll preview that game as well. John will join us at about 3:15 or so here today. Also, we got the Purple Pillage podcast coming up later on in the show, and plenty more as the coaching shuffle continues in the NFL. Some bizarre things going on yesterday with the Cincinnati Bengals that we'll touch on today. And some news at more spots that the Vikings coordinators will be taking a look at. So all of that's coming up on the show here today. So why don't we get right to it? We'll start off by taking a look at our top sports headlines here for today. And taking a look at our top sports headlines for Wednesday, January 3rd. Zach Parise back on the ice for the Minnesota Wild for the first time in a long time. And the Wild got a boost from him being back as they end up beating the Florida Panthers by a score of 5-1. So the Wild starting 2018 off on the right foot. And we'll see if they can continue that here over the next few games. Marvin Lewis evidently changed his mind, as it sounded like he had completely quit on the team in the game against the Vikings. They promptly responded and quit themselves. But now he has signed an extension in which he will get a two-year deal to return to Cincinnati, which is fascinating as to how that situation has evolved over the last couple of weeks. The Minnesota Timberwolves looking to ring in 2018 with a second consecutive win, beat the Lakers on New Year's Day. They will try to do the same in taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Minnesota Vikings made a signing, adding another local wide receiver. They have signed Brandon Zylstra of Concordia Moorhead to a reserve future free agent contract. So a little bit more on that signing coming up today as well. And the Chicago Bears trying to dip into the Vikings coaching tree as they will interview George Edwards and Pat Shurmur for their head coaching positions. I'm going to take a look at this and see if there's a fit. We talked a little bit about potential fits for Pat Shurmur yesterday, but haven't really looked at any potential fits for George Edwards, and I have a reason why. So we will talk about that here today as well, but that is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be joined by John Folkey when we come back here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Get organized.
opposing lender.
Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
And we're joined today on The Scoop by John Folke of the Timberwolves Radio Network. John, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, Seth.
Well, looking at the Timberwolves, they certainly were hoping that 2017 would stick around a little bit longer as they finished the month with a flurry of wins. I think 6-1 in their last seven games in the month of 2017. And obviously, the defense has been getting a little bit better here over the past couple of weeks. But, John, what was the biggest key to that hot stretch to finish off 2017?
You know, it was interesting because it was sort of a tale of two things. Number one, it was closing games out. And, you know, you think of when that stretch started, Minnesota had to rally back from down 10 against Portland in the fourth quarter to get that win. And Jimmy Butler was huge. And then two nights later at Denver, down by 14 in the second half and rallied to get the win. And then you think of solid starts, you know, suddenly, you know, against Indiana, it was a 17-0 run to start the game. Against Milwaukee, even though they dropped that game, they jumped out to a 20-point lead, you know, in the third quarter. And against Denver, the second time at Target Center, it was a fourth quarter and overtime execution, and Jimmy Butler was masterful. So at the beginning of that stretch, it was executing in the fourth quarter. At the end of the stretch, it was getting off to great starts. And, you know, you'd love to see a full 48-minute game of, you know, end-to-end, you know, solid play. And we've seen that these last two from Minnesota. They've won wire-to-wire over the Pacers and the Lakers. But, you know, as Karl Anthony Towns told me on the postgame show after that L.A. game, he said, we're not quite to 48 minutes. We're at about 41 minutes right now. So they're striving for that. They're getting closer. But, you know, just great to be able to pick up wins during this stretch. And to do it in different ways, fourth quarter execution or, you know, getting off to a good start, not allowing the team back into the game.
John, the Wolves 20-6 against the Western Conference, but kind of strangely, they are just 4-8 against the East, which you would see at the beginning of the year just how things were playing out in the Eastern Conference and think, you know, maybe that would be a chance for the Wolves to pick up some wins over there, but it, for whatever reason, just hasn't been working out that way so far this year. Anything in particular, or has it just been some bad matchups? I know a couple of games early on, the Wolves were without Jimmy Butler, but other than that, has it just been some bad matchups against the East?
I think the East is a lot better than a lot of us anticipated at the beginning of the season. And, you know, Detroit's much more improved than what I thought they would be. Indiana is much more improved than I thought they would be. And Milwaukee, you know, that was a tough one because you catch them on the second end of a back-to-back. Minnesota played that tough overtime game the night before. The Bucks had been off, kind of waiting for the Wolves. So, you know, that was, you could build that one into the schedule a little bit. And then the Washington game, you know, that one was just disappointing because Minnesota had a lead late in that ball game and couldn't hold on to it against the Wizards. And so I think I think the Eastern Conference is better than we thought it would be. And, you know, there have been some games where Minnesota built leads against Detroit and Washington. They had leads in the second half and couldn't hang on to them. So, you know, I don't know that you can pinpoint it on, you know, the conference necessarily. But I think at the beginning of the season when Minnesota saw some of these teams, and even that Charlotte loss, you know, they had a lead at Charlotte, and Dwight Howard and Kemba Walker kind of picked them apart in the second half. That was when Minnesota was really, you know, searching for chemistry, going through some things and trying to find their way defensively especially, but also offensively. And so, you know, we saw a number of the Eastern Conference teams early in the season. Now as we start to see, you know, more of them coming up here, I know we got Boston on the schedule on Friday, you got Cleveland on Monday, Toronto twice here in the month of January, I believe Chicago in January too. You know, Minnesota's a different team now than they were when they saw a lot of those teams in early to mid-November. So hopefully the Wolves can take care of business against the East this time around.
John, just looking at the last few games, it seems like, and I don't want to pin the defensive struggles on any one player, but it certainly seems like Karl-Anthony Towns has really started to flourish on defense. He's had just a handful of blocks over the last few games. Are we seeing, hopefully, the first step in what can be some big improvements on defense from this team?
Absolutely. And Carl's done a great job these last couple of games. So has Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, Tyus Jones as well. I want to make sure we mention him because he's done a tremendous job with deflections and steals, you know, stepping into that starting lineup and helping spark the team on the defensive end just by being a pest in the passing lanes. And, you know, all three of those guys have made big strides on the defensive end. Now, you know, the key is to do that each and every night, you know, to be consistent about it. We've seen some good stretches from these guys in the past, but it's all about, you know, can you bring it on every single play? Can you bring it every single night? And, you know, so far so good in the last couple of games for those guys. And, you know, when you add what they're doing to what Taj Gibson, what Jimmy Butler do on a night-in, night-out basis, I think you're starting to see growth and improvement from this team on the defensive end. Still a long way to go, and everybody in the locker room will tell you that. But at least you're starting to see some signs that, hey, guys are getting to that point where they're reacting. They're not thinking so much, and they're playing off instinct a little bit more because those habits have been ingrained in them. And, you know, last season, Seth, in the second half coming out of the All-Star break, Minnesota's defense got better. And that was one thing that Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins said was, you know, we're feeling the defense rather than thinking about the defense. And I think that's one of the things that we're starting to see here is these guys are getting comfortable with where their teammates are, playing off of each other, you know, the all five guys on a string. And as they play like that and they're not seeing a play happen, thinking, then reacting, they're just going, that'll put them in a better position, you know, defensively, which in turn helps the team overall.
John, the Timberwolves welcomed Nemanja Bjelica back into the rotation on Christmas Day, and they've been integrating him back into the regular lineup here over the last handful of games. What have we seen from Belly so far as he works his way back?
Well, Tibbs mentioned it before the Lakers game that there's some rust. You know, Belly missed 15 games. And there's just nothing like NBA basketball. You can ride the bike, you can run, you can go through practice, but being out there in a game, there's just no way to simulate that. And so he, you know, had some rust. It was good to see him against L.A. and really Indiana, too, get extended minutes because the game, you know, was well in hand. And hopefully start to work through some of that rust and start to find his rhythm because before he went down, Seth, he was such a big piece of what Minnesota was doing. The three-point shooting, you know, he's leading the league in three-point field goal percentage. He stabilized the bench and gave Minnesota great minutes and at the same time gave them different looks, you know, with that stretch four and allowing the Wolves to go smaller if you wanted to put Belly at the five and Butler at the four. It just, you know, really gave teams it gave Tibbs versatility to his lineup. And so hopefully, you know, he's able to continue to work through, you know, the rust and everything and develop that rhythm and get back into a flow. But I think against L.A., it was good to see him knock down a three. You know, he's trying to impact the game rebounding and on defense, and hopefully all of that, you know, kind of leads into that shot starting to fall again and him finding that rhythm.
With the fact that the Timberwolves have been able to actually get to where they've had an 18-20-point lead here over the last couple of games, we've seen them be able to get a lot of guys in and kind of take some minutes off the plate of the starters. Cole Aldrich has played the last couple of games, and you can see just how much fun this team is having on their current pace as when a guy like Aldrich gets in, it seems like everybody on the bench is giving him some cheers while he's out there.
Yeah, and it's funny because you kind of forget about Cole. You know, he hasn't played a whole lot this year, hasn't gotten in, you know, and like we obviously don't see what he brings in the locker room or what he brings to practice every day or on the bus or those types of things. But after the Indiana game, Tip said on our post-game show that what Cole brings is invaluable to this team, and that's why when he gets out there and he makes a play, you know, the bench goes nuts for him because those guys love and respect what he brings. He said that Cole's one of those guys who doesn't take energy. He gives energy each and every day. And those guys are huge. You know, when you talk about an 82-game grind and, you know, trying to have some levity and, you know, needing guys to go hard in practice. And apparently Cole brings all those things. And so it's great, you know, to see him get celebrated out there on the floor and to be able to shine the spotlight on him, because we haven't really talked to him a whole lot. You know, we haven't really had a reason to talk about his play or anything since he hasn't gotten on the floor. But behind the scenes, he's certainly bringing a lot to this team, and you can see how much the guys appreciate that by the way they cheer when he's out there.
John, let's take a look at tonight's matchup. The Wolves in Brooklyn taking on the Nets, and the Nets 14-23. They are just 8-10 at home, and the Wolves have played well on the road, 11-8 away from the Target Center. What are some keys for the Wolves to make it 25-14 with a win tonight?
Well, you'd love to see them get off to another incredible start. I mean, the last two games, 17-0 and 16-0, and then play from ahead. So you'd love to see that. Now, I don't know that we can count on a, you know, a franchise record-setting run to start the game for the third straight game, but you know, Brooklyn's a team that plays really hard, and despite the fact that, you know, the record is what it is, they've been in some games. They're coming off a win over Orlando. They're a team that's starting to improve. You know, their GM, Sean Marks, and their head coach, Kenny Atkinson, those guys have really had to dig themselves out of a hole in terms of not having draft picks and trying to build a roster with second-round picks and with savvy trades, and they've been able to do that. Taking a flyer on guys that were high first-round picks that didn't work out in their current situation and trying to kind of resuscitate their careers. A guy like D'Angelo Russell, you know, they just traded for Jahlil Okafor. And so they've been adding these guys in, and there's a lot of talent on that team. Now, you know, can it all come together and be a playoff team? Probably not this year, but, you know, they've got to give up their first-round pick this season, and then maybe they can start to add in some guys through the draft after that. But they're what you would call, you know, a kind of a dangerous team, because they played well of late. They're at home. They're coming off a win over the Magic, feeling pretty good about themselves. And the Wolves are in the midst of a stretch of 7 out of 9 on the road and feeling pretty good about themselves with the way that they've played. So, you know, for Minnesota, you've got to come out and make sure that you don't feel too good about yourself against a team that's, you know, 9 games under .500. And just take care of business. I think that's really what it comes down to for this team. And Karl-Anthony Towns said this after the Lakers game, and I thought it was a great point, but he said, we need to stay in love with the process. You know, the fact that the Wolves are winning right now and their record is 10 games above .500 and, you know, they're fourth in the Western Conference, all those things are great and should be celebrated for the way that, you know, this team has struggled since 2003, 2004. But at the same time, you've got to stay locked into what got you there. And what got Minnesota there is improving on the defensive end, ball movement, you know, versatility on the offensive end, a balanced attack, and staying focused. And I think if they can come out like that against Brooklyn, they should put themselves in a good position. And, you know, certainly you don't want to look too far ahead, because you've got Boston on Friday and then kicking off a 5-game homestand with New Orleans and Cleveland. And so some big games coming up. But you don't want to look ahead to those games and not keep your eye on a Brooklyn Nets team, you know, that's struggled this season here tonight.
Well, we'll see if the Timberwolves can start off 2018 the way they finished 2017. Should be a good one tonight against the Nets. John, thanks so much for joining us here today. We'll see how the Wolves can do here tonight and over the course of the next week, and we'll catch up with you again later on down the road.
Sounds good. Take care, Seth.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
At Redwood Area Hospital, your well-being is our top priority. Hi, I'm Brian Leidick, CEO of Redwood Area Hospital. I am pleased to share the news that Redwood Area Hospital has received top ratings from 3 national healthcare ranking systems. Because of our commitment to your care, we continue to be a leader in patient experience. That shows through our 5-star rating for patient satisfaction from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, and from iVantage, an award for top quartile performance for patient perspective. Our emergency department has also been recognized as the top 8% in the nation out of nearly 4,000 hospitals, with a Women's Choice Award for America's Best Hospitals for Emergency Care. All three of these awards are based on national quality measures and, most importantly, feedback from you, our patients. Next time you need hospital care, let Redwood Area Hospital's award-winning team provide you with an exceptional patient experience. Redwood Area Hospital. Strong healthcare, strong community.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Scott Peterson. When she was sworn in today, Minnesota Senator Tina Smith helped set a U.S. Senate record. MNN's J.W. Cox has more.
Smith becomes the 26th.
KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Back here on The Scoop, had a bunch of things that I left off of the top sports headline list for today. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2018 has 15 finalists and a couple of former Vikings on the list. The list unveiled last night includes linebacker Ray Lewis, former Vikings wide receiver Randy Moss, former Vikings guard Steve Hutchinson, and linebacker Brian Urlacher. Those four players finished their career with a combined 34 Pro Bowl selections and 20 first-team All-Pro selections. In an article written by Jeff Legwold of ESPN. Other finalists include tackle Tony Boselli, wide receiver Isaac Bruce, safety Brian Dawkins, guard Alan Faneca, tackle Joe Jacoby, running back Edgerrin James, cornerback Ty Law, safety John Lynch, center Kevin Mawai, wide receiver Terrell Owens, and cornerback Everson Walls. The class of 2018 will be chosen by the Board of Selectors at a meeting February 3rd in Minneapolis, right before the Super Bowl. And that list will be trimmed to 10 and then to 5. The 5 finalists will be chosen on a yes or no basis, and those who receive 80% approval will be put in the Hall of Fame in August in Canton, Ohio. So a couple of former Vikings who could potentially be headed to the Hall of Fame. I would guess that Randy Moss is pretty close to a lock to get in based off of what he was able to do throughout his career. So I'd be very shocked if Randy doesn't get in his first year eligible. And other than that, it's kind of wide open as to who else will get in. I think you could certainly make a case for Ray Lewis to get in on his first year of eligibility. So then right there, That is two of the five from that list. Then certainly good cases for Brian Urlacher and Steve Hutchinson as well. And then all of the other returning finalists. So that is going to be really interesting to keep an eye on here for the Vikings. But that was one thing that also has happened that was newsworthy here coming into today. Also, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer hanging up his cleats in a letter that was posted on social media. Retiring from football, so Arizona is in need of a quarterback to pair with Adrian Peterson if he stays there, if he even continues playing football. So Carson Palmer retiring, Colin Cowherd of the Cowherd of his own radio show in California saying that that Palmer is hands down a Hall of Fame quarterback. Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Palmer's career stats, 46,247 yards, 294 touchdowns, 187 interceptions. And looking at his postseason career numbers, went to the postseason three times, and five touchdowns, seven interceptions for both the Cardinals and the Cincinnati Bengals. In four games played, in his first game in 2005, he completed a long 66-yard pass and then missed the rest of the game with a torn ACL. Then in 2009, he started one game, was 18 of 36 for 146 yards, a touchdown and a pick, and a fumble. And in two games for the Arizona Cardinals, in 2015, he was 48 of 81, 584 yards, four touchdowns, six picks, three fumbles. Yeah, he had the one game in 2015 that was just a complete and utter meltdown. 23 of 40 for 235 yards, one touchdown, four picks in the game against Carolina, 49-15 loss. Although that postseason they did beat Green Bay in overtime, so thank you for that. I don't know if Palmer is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. That is going to be a big discussion going forward, but regardless, they're going to need one going into next year. So that could be a logical spot for one of the Vikings quarterbacks to go if they do not retain all three of them, which they likely won't. Some other things, and this was the one I wanted to talk about mostly. We talked about it in the top sports headlines. Marvin Lewis, who was all set to leave the Bengals and try to find the next step for him in his coaching career. The team had pretty much mailed it in for the year. They get walloped by the Vikings 34-7. And then after that point, it seems like things kind of started to turn around a little bit. They finished the year 7-9, but after they lost to the Vikings, they turn around and they beat Detroit 26-17. Then they beat the Ravens to knock them out of the playoffs 31-27. So you wonder if they saw something as kind of a let's win one for coach mentality, if they saw that, Bengals ownership that is, and wondered maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to just keep him around. Regardless, though, it's strange. Lewis now with a two-year extension, so he'll continue to coach the Bengals. The thing, though, in seeing just how the Bengals were trying to spin this is that he has made the postseason seven times with Cincinnati, which is the best in franchise history. Well, they don't have a single playoff win in that span. And it just seemed like a logical time with the amount of coaching openings that there are going to be that Cincinnati would decide to bring somebody else in who maybe can get a little bit more out of Andy Dalton and can get a little bit better discipline out of, most of the roster. But nonetheless, Lewis is staying in Cincinnati. And, again, we're going to continue to watch how this John Gruden-Oakland Raiders situation plays out. But to tie it all together and to put a little bit of a Minnesota spin on it, the Chicago Bears have asked for permission to interview both Pat Shurmur and defensive coordinator George Edwards. Edwards would seem to be a fit, as would Shurmur, for the Bears, but here is one of my questions. Would either of those coordinators really want to have to try to go up against the Vikings defense twice a year? In Shurmur's case with Trubisky, who he made some good throws in the game against the Bears from this last weekend. But you look at what he did against the Vikings in his two games this year. He was 32 of 61, a touchdown, a pick. He was sacked twice. So, again, just over 50% completion percentage. His average throw was 5 yards. His quarterback rating, 65. So it didn't really do a whole lot against the Vikings defense, but then again, who has? So it would be a good fit, though, for Shurmur, although, again, you've got to find an opportunity where things are a little bit more set. The Bears still need plenty of pieces on offense to build around, but still an intriguing nucleus for this Bears team, and maybe Shurmur views that as a good fit. But I think that I saw this on Twitter, and I was going to print it off, but just got sidetracked. Someone suggested that the Vikings assistants are wise to take the New England approach. And we've seen offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. He left once to be head coach of the Denver Broncos. That didn't go well, so then he came back to be offensive coordinator of the Patriots. And it might be the best-case scenario where Shurmur and Edwards just decide that they want to see how long this success can be sustained by this Vikings team, and maybe you come away with a couple of wins, a couple of rings, and then once things start to come back down to earth, then maybe you decide that you want to try to get another chance. But it's going to be interesting to see. The narrative that I like about this whole situation is that teams are going to have to wait for situations in terms of head coach. They're going to have to wait. If they want Pat Shurmur, they're going to have to wait. If they want George Edwards, they're going to have to wait until deep in the playoffs. So if you're comfortable with waiting, if you think Shurmur or Edwards is the guy, then you're going to be fine with waiting, and then I think we'll see them go on to different opportunities. But if you have teams that just want to get somebody in and get a system started, then we're going to get to the end of the playoffs after the Super Bowl, and the Vikings will still have both coordinators. So I don't know if I have a I went through my bold predictions for 2018, and I alluded to the fact that the Vikings will need two new coordinators, but I don't know if I really believe either way that that they're going to leave or stay. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. Plenty more to discuss with the Vikings, and we'll talk a little more Vikings football tomorrow on the show. We'll have Drew Mahold of Vikings Territory, old friend of the show. We'll have Drew on tomorrow to talk more Vikings and get us ready for possible playoff opponents starting up tomorrow. But just continuing to go through some general news here. Today, the Minnesota Twins have signed outfielder Nick Buss to a minor league contract. The 2017 Pacific Coast League batting champion hit .348 in 114 games for AAA El Paso out of the Padres system last season. That from Nate Rowan, who is a PR person for the Rochester Red Wings. So that is an interesting signing for the Twins, providing a little bit of outfield depth. Obviously, the batting average jumps right off the page. In an outfield that, you know, could use maybe one more bat, we'll see if we'll see if the Twins add somebody to the major league roster or if they just add some depth signings to try to guard against any sort of injury. But thought that was interesting and wanted to pass that along as well here today. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, as we talked about with John Folkey, playing the Brooklyn Nets tonight, trying to improve to 25-14 on the season in what has been a very successful year for the Timberwolves so far. We'll take a look at that. Plus, we'll take a look at what else is on deck here for tonight. That is all coming up next here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
/build.
Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the sports tab.
Touchdown!
This is the Purple Pillage with Neil Roberts and Lee Fockin. The Pillage starts now.
Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Purple Pillage. I'm Leif Bakken with Neil Roberts. This one brought to you by Trinity Health, located in Minot, North Dakota. If you're looking for jobs in the healthcare industry, check out trinityhealth.org. Neil, the Vikings end the season on a win against the Bears. Not to say that wasn't expected, but a win's a win and a bye for the playoff.
Yeah, not a pretty win, but Leif, you and I talked about that last week, that, you know, for the people that thought the Vikings would be up by 3 touchdowns at halftime and get to play their backups for a half, you and I both were fairly skeptical of that. I mean, the Bears had a top 10 defense. They've got a rookie quarterback who's gotten a lot better. They have one of the top five running backs in the league. John Fox playing for his job, basically. We all know how that turned out now. All that being said, we knew it would be a fairly tough matchup. It kind of went the way that I thought it might. It'd be a fairly tough game, but they end up winning by a couple touchdowns, but it wasn't easy. But they got the win. They have the home field. They're 13-3. By and large, I think we'll be healthy in a couple weeks as their playoff season gets underway.
The only one that was missing this week was Elfline, and Easton was hurt, and he will be out the rest of the year, but yep. Elfline had a shoulder issue. I think it was just a recovery thing for him for the final week, getting ready for playoffs, like you said, Neil. Like you said, Trubisky was 20 for 36. He's going to be a good quarterback in the future, and look forward to watching him. Case Keenum was 21 for 29 on the day, only 189 yards, though. One touchdown. That touchdown throw was to Stephon Diggs. He had 6 for 65. Latavius Murray had 2 touchdowns, 20 for 111 yards. Jerick McKinnon with 12 carries and 44 yards. Adam Thielen with a great day, and his bonus kicks in with 6 receptions and 61 yards on 7 targets. So Keenum had his eyes open, and the receivers had their hands open as well.
So the bonus Leaf referred to, many of you fans maybe heard about, Adam needed 5 receptions to get his season total to the number where the Vikings guaranteed him an additional healthy bonus of cash, and he hit it. So that, I think everybody was happy for Adam, including the Vikings. That was neat to see. Yeah, they really didn't miss a beat. Just a fairly tough physical game with the Bears, one they withstood.
Vikings defense was able to hold the Bears to only 30 rushing yard, and you got to credit Harrison Smith and Ben Gideon at the top of the list with 6 total tackles, 4 each solo, and then the rest of the defense. The defense has just been awesome. Number one defense in the country. There's nothing you can say bad about this Vikings defense. Maybe a few things, but that's getting nitpicky then.
It is. Being a Viking fan, it's usually a few weak spots that you think, man, I wish we had a better this or that, but the guys, like the other safety position, Zendejo's had an awesome year. The corner opposite Rhodes, Trey Waynes has had, you know, a phenomenal year. Mackenzie Alexander has come in and played very well this year. Terrence Newman's played really well in the slot and other places. On and on and on. The Vikings defense, the linebackers, you mentioned Ben Gideon, a rookie coming in, making his presence felt. They have a lot of depth. Kudos to the coaching staff for developing those guys and Spielman for bringing them in. I wouldn't want to play the Vikings in the playoffs. I know that much. And I hate to get amped up too much, Leaf, but I really like their chances.
Instead of the player of the week, folks, we're going to have the players of 2017 in the regular season, brought to you by Four Bears Casino and Lodge, REO Speedwagon, coming to you on January 20th. Neil, we can say lots of good things about the whole team, but I think there's a few stars we have to point out up in the sky.
Kendricks led the team in tackles by a long shot, as he should as a middle linebacker. He did his part, and he was all over the field, 113 tackles on the year. And Harrison Smith, jobbed of the All-Pro selection. You know, a lot of people are talking about him being the NFC Defensive Player of the Year. Even some national pundits are on that. He's not being overlooked totally. Like you say, it's hard to narrow it down to a player or two because they really have won this as a team this year.
Adam Thielen had 91 catches in the regular season for 1,276 yards. That's 14 per reception. Great job by him.
You know, for all the high picks they've spent on receivers over the years, and here you have Adam Thielen, undrafted out of Mankato, and Stephon Diggs, a fifth rounder out of Maryland, and those guys are just awesome. You take Brown for the Steelers. I think he's a sixth round pick. That in particular, Vikings are fortunate.
Another guy I want to talk about quick is Everson Griffin, who did amazing things this year. 13 sacks on the season, which is kind of unheard of. And again, just credit that Viking defense with everything they've got, including the depth you're talking about, including the physicality, and just going out every week and playing the game.
And he sat out one game. He puts up 13 sacks on the year. Everson Griffin has just been a monster to stop this year. Danielle Hunter, another guy. Their whole defensive line, you talk about Tom Johnson coming in and making some big plays. Linval Joseph, I know reading their stats, but he had a lot of 60-some tackles, and he's getting double-teamed every play. On and on, their defense is really solid, and you also penciled in some of those stars on the offensive side of the ball. Case Keenum, where would they be without him? Latavius Murray and McKinnon coming in after Cook gets injured. I mean, it just goes back to that depth again, and next man up has really been their mantra this year. Into the playoffs, it's nice to know that you're not crossing your fingers on any particular one player, that they can spread it around a little bit.
I really like Pat Elflein and what he's been doing, and he's kind of been the glue for that offensive line and really helped Berger out in Easton, and now that Easton's out, you know, and Hill coming in as well.
Yeah, you just touched on it, that offensive line, the improvement of it has made all these other guys possible. Keenum, Thielen, all these running backs, they wouldn't be where they're at without those guys.
All these guys. We could go on and on, but Players of the 2017 season, there you have it. Brought to you by Four Bears Casino and Lodge, located 4 miles west of Newtown, North Dakota. Neil, playoffs coming up in 2 weeks, so we'll have an episode between now and then. Who do you want to see, or who do you not want to see, coming up against the Vikings?
I don't know. I think the Saints right now scare me the most, and I'm guessing we're going to have to play them at some point. We play the Rams if they win. The Rams get upset by Atlanta, then we get the winner of New Orleans, Carolina. Kamara's really scary. Their defense is playing really well. A lot of things rolling right now with a lot of these teams. They all scare me a little bit, the Saints in particular. You know, the good thing is, if Philadelphia does get beat, we at least have them at home for the NFC Championship game if the Rams should win. Just looking at these teams the last month or so, the Rams scare me a lot with their speed on the offense. The Saints scare me, but the Rams are really good too, so we'll see how this thing unfolds. Even though Philadelphia has home field, I don't think the NFC Championship game is going to be in Philadelphia.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Purple Pillage. Brought to you by Farmers Union Oil Company of Turtle Lake, North Dakota. 701-448-2355 is the number to call for your 2018 prepay needs on seed and fertilizer. For Neil Roberts, I'm Leif Bakken, and until next time, Pillage on!
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Hello, this is Alan Hilliston.
Dealer.
For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Let's take a look at what's on deck here for tonight. We'll start off with Big Ten men's basketball. A couple games on the schedule tonight. Rutgers at number 13, Purdue. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. Illinois at the Golden Gophers at 8 o'clock tonight. both games on Big Ten Network. NHL this evening, Ottawa at Detroit at 7:30 Eastern, Chicago at the New York Rangers at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And the NBA, Houston at Orlando at 6 o'clock, San Antonio at Philadelphia at 6 o'clock, the New York Knicks at Washington at 6 o'clock, Minnesota Timberwolves at Brooklyn at 6:30, Detroit at Miami at 6:30, Cleveland at Boston at 7, Toronto at Chicago at 7, Indiana at Milwaukee at 7 o'clock, Golden State at Dallas at 7:30, Phoenix at Denver at 8 o'clock, New Orleans at Utah at 8 o'clock, and Oklahoma City is at the Los Angeles Lakers. That is at 9:30 this evening. So a chance for the Timberwolves to improve to 25-14 on the season. Sounds like the Nets will be a little shorthanded here this evening. So that should definitely play to the Timberwolves' favor. And of course, you've got the Gophers as well. So a couple of viewing options here for you tonight. That is a look at what's on deck for this evening. It is time now for us to wrap things up here for today. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. Big thank you to John Folkey for joining the show to talk Timberwolves basketball today. As mentioned, we got Drew Mahold on the show tomorrow talking Vikings football. We'll preview this weekend's games and see who the Vikings may end up playing next week in the second round of the playoffs. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 3:05.